This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
When Christ comes to His church, Malachi, please, the third chapter, the last book in the Old Testament, just before Matthew, for those who are new Christians, please turn to Book Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I'm reading from King James. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. Here's my message. He shall suddenly come to his temple. I'm saying when Christ comes to his church or his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Who may be able to abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in the former years. Heavenly Father, I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I want to minister the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. I want you, Holy Spirit, to come forth through these words that you put in my heart. Sanctify me and sanctify the listener, that when we have finished this morning, we will know that God has spoken to us and that we will have an understanding of some of the things that we are enduring right now. We'll understand the process of the Lord and what He's doing and why He's doing it. Lord, quicken us by the Holy Ghost, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All the Old Testament prophets prophesied of the first coming of Jesus. He was going to come to a lost world. And when He comes, the prophets all said He would bind up the brokenhearted. He would proclaim liberty to the captives. He'd open prison doors. He would open blind eyes. He'd heal the sick, raise the dead. The Bible said He would build a church. All the prophets foresaw that. And the prophets also said that He would give beauty for ashes. He'd give oil of joy for mourning. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, that is how He comes to the lost world. He comes to redeem. He comes to save. But you come to the last chapter. You come to the last chapter of Zechariah and especially of Malachi. And you see Jesus coming in a different way to His church. You see, the Lord foreknew, even before the foundation of the world, that through the cross and through His sacrifice, millions and millions around the whole world would receive Him as Lord and Savior. And He would not be God. Christ would not have been God in flesh. If He would have gone, ascended into heaven and turned over this church, turned over this body of new believers into the hands of shepherds that were half-hearted or impure or evil, He would not do that. He had to have in place with His church, or for those who would come to Him, be redeemed by His blood, He had to have in place a ministry that was not half-hearted, a ministry that was wholly given to Christ, who could shepherd this flock. What kind of a Savior would be if He left us in the hands of hirelings and shepherds who would not lead us and cause us to grow and show us the mind of the Father and take us deeper into Christ? So 50 days after His cross, and just as He ascended, right after He ascended, 50 days later, He pours out the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, in the upper room. And he raises up a ministry. And it's said of the first pastors of the Pentecostal church in Jerusalem and the then known world, men like Stephen and men like Peter and all of these men, the Bible says of them, they were full of the Holy Ghost and power. They not only were filled with the Holy Spirit, but they ministered the Holy Spirit. What they spoke was of the Holy Spirit. They were so dependent on the Holy Spirit. And this was the gift of Christ to His church, to bring forth ministry. He would bring teachers, everyone who touches His gospel, everyone involved in His church. And I ask you to hear me, if you're an usher, you're in the choir, you're in any part a servant to the body of Jesus Christ. And furthermore, we're all called to be priests unto the Lord, kings and priests. Every time you witness, it's to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're to minister, not yourself. There should be nothing of yourself coming out, because there is no power on earth that can convict a man or woman of their sin in human flesh. I don't care how many scriptures you quote. I don't care how much you love somebody. I don't care how accurate your testimony may be. You may give your own personal testimony of how Christ redeemed you and set you free. But that in itself cannot convict a man of his sin. The Bible said Peter stood on the day of Pentecost. And here's a man who had just failed God. He had denied Jesus Christ. Cursed, said, I don't even know the man. And this is just a few months later. Forgiven, cleansed, and now filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter stands now in the upper room. Now remember, in the upper room, there was a sound from heaven. They all received from one source. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God fell on them. Now, only God can send the Holy Ghost. He's the one who ministers the Holy Ghost to mankind. But having been poured out, then He uses human vessels to convey that message to the world. He pours it out through people. They all received it, but now after they've all received, Peter, an individual, stands before the multitudes, and he preaches the cross and resurrection of Jesus. And the Bible says they were all convicted in their hearts, so much so that they cried out, trembling, what shall we do? What must we do to be saved? How did they come to that conclusion? Why were they trembling? It was not Peter's theology. It was not some charisma from this man. But you see, now he's full of the Holy Ghost, and he's not ministering himself, he's ministering the Holy Ghost. He's ministering. He's a minister of the Holy Ghost. Folks, that is what God intends for every Spirit-filled believer, that you and I become ministers of the Holy Ghost. Here's another example. Here is Peter going down to the house of Cornelius. The Gentiles have not yet received Christ. And he goes down full of the Holy Spirit, anointed of God, walking in the Spirit, trusting in the Spirit. And he gets up to speak before these Gentiles who have never heard the gospel. And while he yet spoke, it's halfway through his message, the Holy Spirit falls upon them all. Why? Because they had been ministered to by the Holy Ghost through Peter. They could say, that man brought us something. That man convicted us. Whatever there is in that man, there's a power there. There's something different about this man. And it got right to the heart. They opened their hearts and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and were baptized in water. You find that with Philip going to Samaria. And the Bible says of Philip, he was a man full of the Holy Ghost and power. Where does he get that power? It is the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes to Samaria, to ungodly city, a type of the New York of its day, very, very into Samaria, wicked and vile. And the Bible says that demons began to flee. They had a bonfire and they burned all a fortune in filthy books and idolatrous books, pornographic books, because they've had this for centuries, folks. There's nothing new about it. And the Bible says that the apostles came and helped them, and people had their hands laid upon them. The Holy Spirit began to fall all over the city because there were men who were ministering the Holy Spirit. Folks, we have what are called mega churches today, where 25,000 people come, 10,000 people. There's a whole new kind of thing that's in the Christian ministry today, bigness and success. And success is counted by how many thousands of cars in the parking lot and how long it takes to get into the church and police directing traffic. And it looks so great, and it's called success. Now, there's some of those churches, and I say it lovingly, that have a heart for the lost. But let me tell you, I don't care how big a church is. It could have 100,000 members. But if there's not a ministry in the pulpit that is full of the Holy Ghost, if there's not a ministry of the Holy Spirit coming forth to convict of sin, it becomes a stench in God's nostrils. It cannot be of God. Folks, I read the stuff coming from some young pastors today who say, we will not offend anybody. And they entice people into the church. They almost trick them in by polling them and say, what do you want to hear? We don't want to offend you. Does the cross offend you? We'll take the cross down. But you see, any man who stands in this pulpit and he's ashamed of the scars of Jesus Christ cannot touch human life. He cannot change a heart. People are going to come. They're going to have a little sermonette. They're going to have a one-hour service and run off to McDonald's just like they came and be totally unchanged. There has to be a ministry of the Holy Ghost. There has to be men and women who are able to minister the Holy Spirit. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple. He's going to sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He's going to purge as gold and silver that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Don't ever go to a church where you're not convicted and refined. I want the Lord to reprove me when I need it. I want the Holy Ghost to dig in and show me things that I'm not willing to admit about myself or that I don't see about myself. And may I tell you that every one of you hearing me now, and it's not just me, you've got stuff in you that you really don't admit to, don't want to admit to, and maybe don't want to see it. But if you really love Jesus, you're going to ask, Holy Ghost, turn the light on. Turn the light on. Examine every part of my heart. And Malachi says, O ye priests, this commandment or this message is to you. Lay it to your heart. He said, I'm going to come and purge you. I'm going to test you. The Lord said, you were messengers of the Lord of hosts, but you have departed out of the way. He said, something's happened. He said, something's happened now because I can't allow it. Now, he's prophesying about the coming Christ and what the Lord is going to see when He comes. Malachi, he said, he's going to come to a church where there are leaders and there are workers that have departed. They once went, the Bible said, turned many away from their iniquities. And he said, you sought me, you loved me, but something has happened. And the Lord said, I cannot allow that in my church, so I'm going to have to come and purge. I'm going to have to put you in the fire. He said, will I accept this of you? He said, where's my honor and where's my fear? And Malachi saw a church when Christ would come, that Jesus was going to come to a church where the leadership, both the pulpit and the congregation needed to be purged and cleansed. And that God cannot accomplish the eternal purpose until this happened. Malachi is speaking not just to his day, but primarily to the day when Christ himself would come. He said, God says, Jesus will come near unto you to judge. Let me give you a word from Paul the Apostle that makes this simple and clear. He, therefore, that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He said, now listen to these words. He that ministers the Spirit to you. Now, who is he? Of course, we know that's the Father through Christ. Jesus was given the Holy Spirit to give to mankind. It came from God through Christ to you and to me. You weren't saved except through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you if you love Jesus Christ. He's abide. And he will fill you to overflowing. He will baptize you with his glory and his power if you ask him, the Bible says. But Paul the Apostle says, how did you get the Holy Spirit? How did he come into your heart? Did you hear a message about good works? Did you have to do so many good things? Did you have to witness to so many? What did you have to do? He said, no, you heard somebody. You heard someone that had the Holy Spirit who ministered that to you and produced faith in you. And who was that? That was Paul himself. And so they could say, the Galatians could say, Paul the Apostle came to us. We didn't know about the Holy Spirit, and he spoke faith to us and said we could receive the Holy Spirit. And our lives were changed through this man. He ministered to us the Holy Spirit. Let me read it to you again. It's in your Bible. You've looked at that times and just skipped over it. He says, he that ministers to you the Spirit. It's not through works, but through the hearing. You heard a message delivered through a vessel that gave you, that flowed. The Holy Spirit comes to me, and the Bible says, out of my innermost being shall what? Out of my belly, out of my innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And he spoke of the Spirit. The Spirit in me must flow out. Folks, if you're full of the Holy Ghost and you're walking in the Spirit, you're believing in the Holy Spirit. When you witness to somebody, when you walk through your unsaved, your house of unsaved friends and family, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words. Trust the Holy Spirit that what comes out of you will not fall to the ground, but will bear fruit because you're speaking in the Holy Ghost. He didn't baptize us only to speak with tongues. He didn't baptize us only to have comfort. That's his work. Thank God for that. But it's for you to give out to the world. You've got to be giving it out. It needs to flow through us, the Scripture says. The only teaching, the only preaching that has any effect is that which is preached in and by and through the Holy Ghost. Through those who have spent time hearing his voice. The message they bring is something that God, by his Spirit, has spoken into their heart. I want to get into something now that brings me to the heart of this message. Is there anything that can hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit through our vessels? Any known sin is a block. It is impossible for the Holy Spirit to flow through a vessel that has an unforsaken sin. If there's sin in your life, no matter what you testify, no matter what you say. Now, I'm not talking about the Christian that has fallen into a sudden temptation, been overwhelmed or surprised by sin. It may be adultery, it may be fornication, whatever it may be. But this man or this woman hates that sin. And they've gone to the Lord broken before it and say, Lord, this is not what I want. I despise it. And I have this, but I want to forsake my sin. God sees that. God has never turned away from that kind of a cry. He didn't turn away from Peter. He didn't turn away from any man. But it's that one that's given to their sin, hiding the sin, that secret thing. And God's saying, no, I will not allow you to minister the Holy Spirit. I'll not take my Spirit from you, but there will be no impact. There will be no ministry You cannot minister. You have no effect on anyone. Your words are just words until this is dealt with. This is a controversy that has to be settled. Now, let me go to the Christian now that really wants the heart of God. Not living sin. There's nothing hidden in the life. And there's a desire to have your life count. And he shall purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. If you begin to pray, oh God, oh Jesus, I want to know you. I want to be a pleasure to you. I don't want to live half-heartedly. Lord, I need you. I want you. I desire you. I want the fullness of Christ. I want to know Jesus in fullness. I guarantee you're going to go into the refining fire. You're going to go into the pot. The refiner has a heavy, you know, a refiner of silver and gold doesn't have one big pot. We seem to picture this. Jesus sits as the refiner of silver and the ore goes into the pot. We all picture one big, huge pot. And God just dumps us all in there and tests us all with the same fire. No. Every one of us have our own refining pot. Because every one of us have a different kind of something God's getting at, a different kind of impurity or a different kind of controversy. There's something there God's getting at. He says, I'm calling you gold. I'm calling you silver. I see the potential. I see what I want to accomplish in you. I know my divine purpose for you. But I've got to put you in this fire because I'm going to need in these last days before I come, I'm going to have an army. I'm going to have an army of tested and tried soldiers that have been in the fire, who are not going to melt when it gets bad. When fires of iniquity and persecution come, they can't fold on me. They can't give up in the middle of the fight. I'm going to have soldiers. And so God puts you in one fire. He knows how hot the fire has to go. Mine may be hotter than yours or less heat. I don't know. But he knows what it's going to take to bring it out. Remember in the New Testament, Jesus spoke of, he is the vine, his father's the vine dresser. And he said, any branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he says, I'm going to cut off. It's going to wither and die. But every branch in me that bears fruit, I'm going to prune it. I'm going to refine it, so to speak. I'm going to test it. Now that is good news. You say, it doesn't sound good to me. I don't want to be refined. I don't want to be pruned. I don't want to be cut and stripped. Now, do you hear what Jesus said? Because they're bearing fruit. And the only reason that you're being pruned is because you're bearing fruit. That's good. That's not bad. God's saying, I see something in you. You're bearing fruit. But I also see there's something there of doubt and unbelief that's going to break out. You still have some seeds in you. And I've got to get to that. If I just let you alone and let you go on, just like this, happy and content with where you're at, not knowing what I see, then this is going to break out a year from now, or 2 years, it's going to break out. But I need you. I see something in you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to make you strong. You know, you think you're strong now, but there's something there that has to be dealt with. And because you've cried out to him, because you love him, your heart is yearning. That's why you're in the fire. Because God says, I call you gold, I call you silver, and I want to use you. You're going to be something I can use in these last days. And folks, the reason we see so much of trial and testing in the Church of Jesus Christ today is because here, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who love him, fear him. So the eyes of the Lord are on every one of these pots. And you're in that pot and that fire is burning. And the Lord comes along and he sees the impurity and begins to pull it out. He knows exactly when to pull you out of the fire. He knows exactly how much you can take. I've never in all my ministry seen and heard, especially in the letters that come to us from people on our mailing list from around the world, I have never in my life heard of such testing and such trial. But folks, you see, we're near the coming of the Lord now. We're coming toward the last days. The Bible said all hell is going to be spit out on the earth. There's going to be a flood come against the church of Jesus Christ like it's never known. And the only defense God has, He doesn't send angels to do it. He has to have men and women in the pulpit and in teachers and singers and musicians. He has to have a body. He has to have a congregation in this city, for example. He has to have a people that when the worst of times come, and I get tired of saying it because I tell the Lord sometimes, get somebody else to. I have to get up in a park in Washington and the sun's shining and preaching to these people who go home tonight and they're depressed and may be thinking of suicide. Lord, I want to preach happiness. The Lord said, no, you preach what I tell you. And then I go sit down by stage and say, Lord, why? What is this all about? And I don't like to talk about hard times. I don't like to talk about judgment. And I never did acknowledge to be a prophet, but a watchman. But folks, that what is coming on the face of the earth, God has to have men and women who have been in the fiercest of fires. And it's been hot. There are men that have hit a wall. You thought you were strong. You were self-sufficient. You thought you could work your way out. And then God allows something. He takes you in the refiner's pot. And you hit a wall. And now you're helpless. And now you're weak. You say, I don't know what to do. And the Lord says, good. This is what I've wanted all along. I want you to be dependent. And the Lord said, until you bear fruit, I want, my purpose for you is to bear fruit. Now, what is the fruit? The fruit, I'll give it to you in one word. Dependency. Total dependency on the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit in me. Until I come to the place where I am willing to trust God in any circumstance. No matter if it's cancer, no matter if it's death, no matter what it is, I will trust God. I may lose my job. Folks, you say, well, you don't have a job. Give me an hour of your time backstage. I'll tell you about my job. But you say, well, maybe you have a flow of income. No, folks, when things get bad, they're suffering for all the body of Jesus Christ. But God is God of the flood. He reigns over the flood, the Bible said. And when the flood of iniquity kings, we still have a God that's on the throne who cares for his church. But you see, God's trying to bring forth a last day harvest. And how is he going to harvest in these last days? Folks, what do you think is going to take when a mad devil comes and he's changing the constitution? Not only the United States, but the constitutions in Europe. There's going to be the United States of Europe with its own constitution that's outlawed. God! And every institution that we've trusted for centuries, marriage, and all of these institutions pushing God out of our society. What's it going to take? The Church of Jesus Christ is not going to fold, the Bible says. The gates of hell will not prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ. He said it's going to be victorious. We're going to be more than conquerors, he said. Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. But how's he going to do it? He has to have a people through which he can speak and move and minister. the Spirit of the living God. Only the Holy Spirit can convict men of sin. Only people full of the Holy Ghost can bring people to conviction and to their knees and to salvation. And if we don't have that, we would lose a whole generation. So what I see coming, and the evidence of it happening, I see coming a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's already here. And the evidence of it is the fire of testing that's going on. Because God sees something coming out of it for His honor and His glory. I'm not going to preach long this morning. But this is serious business. Let me say it again. Quote to you what Jesus said. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, folks, this fruit is the spontaneous outgrowing, a spontaneous outgrowing of just abiding in Christ. Now, all my ministry for 50 years, I have read this, abide in me and I abide in you. If you abide in me, what am I talking about? You see, you'll bear fruit if you just abide in me. And the fruit is just the spontaneous abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ is simply trusting Him in everything in my life. The closer I get to home, the more I see the whole issue now. There is no other issue. It's this. What I'm doing, is it of the Holy Ghost? Does this come from my flesh or is this from the Holy Spirit? And am I trusting Him in what I'm going through? Now, there are some people hearing me right now that are going through the test of your life. Probably the last 3 weeks, and Pastor Neil, I know, and just about everybody that's been in this pulpit for the last month, been trying to get at something. It's been the same message in different ways, bringing us where we will cast ourselves, where we're absolutely abiding by faith. We're just casting ourselves in the care of the Master, where we say, Lord, it's above me. And folks, things are going to get to the place where it's above all of us. We're not going to be able to just say, I'll work my way through it. It's going to happen through confidence and faith in the Lord. Now, I promise you on everything in this book, that God is going to see us through. I said God has everything under control. I've said that over and over again. And God is going to see us through. There's not a person here this morning that is not going through a trial. Behind me, pulpit. You're going through a test. You said, does it ever come a time in your life that you test stop? And you just breathe and say, oh, I can just coast into heaven now. No. I'm 73 and going through the refining fires at 73, after preaching 50 years. But I want to tell you, there's such an assurance through it all, such a peace. It says, oh God, I know what's going to happen. I've been here before. I'm going to come out of this with more trust than I've ever had before. I'm going to come out with more faith than I've ever had. And now I've come to a place, I'm not reached perfection at all, but I've come to a place where Paul says, I'm beginning to thank God for my afflictions. That's in your Bible. Folks, I'm not shouting at you. I'm not even trying to get you to shout. I'm just trying to show you something here by the Holy Spirit, because He's speaking through me now. He's speaking into your heart. Some of you, and here's the danger. He said, if you will not allow Him to prune you, and if you question Him, and you keep questioning. Now, it's sometimes natural just to say, well, why? But then you've got to move out of that. You've got to come to the place where you say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I've come to the end of myself. If you will let the Holy Spirit now just bring His rest to your heart, if you would just lay back in the arms of Jesus and not fight it, that's abiding. That's abiding in Christ. But when you fight it, the Bible, and this really hit my heart all this week, and even this morning when I was going over my notes, this hit me so hard. He said, those branches that do not bear this fruit, in other words, they're not dependent on the Lord, they harden their hearts. And I'm going to say it now, and this is directly from the Holy Spirit. I'm ministering the Spirit to you now, and I'm saying it lovingly. You can come to a danger point. And that danger point is that you say, I have had enough. Or the thought is, seed is there. God is not keeping His word. God is not answering prayer. And it's almost as if you have this thought in your mind. It's that God has, He's cut off the cord and cut me off and let me adrift out into this tossed sea. And the Lord says very clearly that branch that will not abide and rest in Him and trust be cut off. See, you cut off from the source of everything you need to get through it. And this is serious business. I said, Lord, I want to see what you're saying to me and what you're saying to this congregation. And Lord, by His Spirit, said, David, look at it closely again. You've read it for many years. You've preached from this. But read what I said. You can be cut off in this time of testing. You will not allow Him to come and comfort your heart. You will not just rest in His love. It's so important for you to hear that now before we close this message. I'm going to close in just a few moments. I don't know who I'm speaking to in the annex upstairs here. I don't know who I'm going to be speaking through the tapes that will go out from this congregation. But of all the messages I've preached from this pulpit in the past 17 years, this is the one that you have to hear. If you're going to make it for what is coming, if in my flesh I did what I feel, sometimes I want to take back everything I've said because it's been so strong. And so many people have called it nothing but gloom. But God wants to make you strong. God is taking you through this because He sees that you're the one that He's chosen. It's only His goodness and His grace and His love. I believe I've been shown, Paul the Apostle was told when he saw, the man of God was sent to him, said, tell him he's been chosen to suffer. Why? Because he became one of the greatest testimonies, one of the great commanders of God's army. He has chosen you. What you're going through is not of the devil. It's God. It's refining. And He's sitting there right now. He's watching over you. He knows the fire. And I'll tell you, God gets no glory, no pleasure out of it. God gets no pleasure out of what you're going through. He grieves and He hurts, but He knows it has to happen. I'm a father of 4 children and 10 grandchildren. I know the grief when I've had, out of love, have to chasten and put the fire to my children. And I know the pain and the hurt. And I knew that if I didn't do it, I'd destroy them. They'd go to hell. And the Lord feels your pain. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But these things, I tell you again, it's not the devil. It's God. God is at work in you. So you can be at peace. You don't have to rest. You should not, anything I said to you this morning should not produce fear in your heart. It should bring you to a place of rest. Because God wants everything that comes out of your heart to be the ministry of the Holy Ghost. So that we're not just a talking people. We make an impact on this city. We make an impact on our families. Will you stand, please? Now look at me, please. I didn't get you to shout. There's a time for that. You may shout this afternoon, you may shout this evening. But right now, there's a deep work going on of the Holy Spirit. Now, at my age, I've become a father to the church and a father to many people around the world. And these gray hairs on my head could tell you a story. Some of the deepest testings and trials. And I can tell you they don't stop. But I can stand here as a testimony for the Lord that at 73, I love Him more than I've ever loved Him. I've proven Him more than I can tell you. And He has proven faithful. And He's put a fire in my bones. He's put some steel in my back. And some of you that are here now, you are suffering in physical pain. And some of you are in financial disaster. It looks like total disaster. I got a letter this past week from a pastor. He's got a child that has a learning disability and has to send him to a special school. And a wife that's sick and everything. And he said, "Pastor Dave, I owe $85,000 on my credit cards. And I don't know what to do, and my wife's about to have a nervous breakdown." Of course, I sent some help. But he didn't understand. You can't understand. Folks, God will not let you stay in that fire. He's not going to keep you in that fire. The moment you say, "I give up trying to work it out myself." The moment you say in your heart, and you're convinced, and you know it, no matter what it costs, no matter what I'm going through, God, I am going to be dependent upon Your faithfulness. And when God sees that, He's going to bring you out. It may not happen overnight, but little by little, one token after another, one sign after another, one touch after another. Sometimes it's just a day without pain. Sometimes it's just something where God says, "Just hold steady. I know where you're at. I know what you're going through. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't despair. Don't get mad at me. Don't think I've cut you off." Now I'm going to open this altar. Folks, this may seem a little disjointed this morning, very quiet. But God's accomplishing something. And if this message is for you, and you're in the fire, you're asking God to bring you out totally dependent on Jesus, totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. Dependent to this point that you believe that He will speak to you and give you the direction and the steps to come into deliverance. Because He will speak to you and tell you how and what to do. I've proven that over all my lifetime now. Could you bow your heads? I have a word from the Lord. "My flock, fear not, for I'm with you. I will not cast you aside. I will not forsake you. Though the waves roar and the fire burns, I will take you through it. There will be no harm come to you. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at conditions. I am Lord of their flood. I'm King of the flood. I've brought you to this time and this place. I've caused you to turn from your own ideas, because your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts, and my ways are above your ways. If you will trust that, I will give you my thoughts. I will give you my ways, and I'll bring you into a promised place of rest. I will bring you out so that I can bring you in, into peace and rest in the Holy Ghost. Now let me read the word of the Lord to you. God is our refuge and strength. What kind of help? Very present help in trouble. Therefore we'll not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. The waters roar and troubled, the mountains shake with the swelling. But there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her and right early. Did you hear what I said? God will help you and he will be right on, not only on time, he said, I'll be early. I'll be there. The Lord of hosts is with you. He maketh your wars to cease. So be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among you. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with you, the God of Jacob, your refuge. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your word, O God. Now, Heavenly Father, if what we're going through now was caused by the devil, we could be afraid. We could wonder. We could question. But Lord, you're the one who's sitting as a refiner of fire. You're the one who puts us in the fire. That's what the scripture says. But you do it as an act of love and of mercy, because you're bringing forth an army strong in the Lord, without fear, without unbelief. Oh God, let us rest in you now, and let us not tremble. Let us not be afraid. You said, though the waves roar and the mountains tremble and fall around you, you will be with us. You will deliver us. You will be our refuge and our strength in the time of need. So he said, do not be afraid, and we will not fear. Lord, I ask you now to bring peace and rest and confidence in the hearts of your people. Hallelujah. One last word for you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. Will you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I'm in the fire, and it's intense, and it hurts, but I know you're in control. Forgive my unbelief and my fear. Holy Spirit, come upon me. Give me rest and confidence. Oh God, I want to depend only on you, not on some person, not on circumstances, not on my own thoughts. I surrender my thoughts, my plans, and I give it to you. I give everything to you. Holy Ghost, take control. Do it now. Now give him thanks. Lord, I give you thanks. I give you praise. Holy Spirit.
This is the conclusion of the message.